Hello and welcome back, my dear family and friends. I hope you all are doing well. I certainly have been. I took some more time, guys, off to recoup, reassess, and remove anything that doesn't serve my purpose and destiny, which has so much to do with our podcast today. But before I delve any further into today's topic, I want to welcome all of you loyal and cherished supporters back. Thank you so much for tuning in to Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministries. So ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to delve into today's topic that uplifts our communities and nurture our spiritual growth? Please remember, your ongoing support and donations, guys, are invaluable. I encourage you to continue to contribute to this mission of love and light.
Amen.
We also encourage all of you to donate on the website or create campaigns if you are in need and need assistance. So please continue to supporting this podcast as well as FundraisingCup.org internationally.
Amen.
Whew. Okay. You already know who's back in the building. Yes, it's our brother Thomas. How have you been?
Jewel, I've been good. I've been good. Glad to be here. You know, as I told you earlier, that I said I really enjoy the podcast. I really thank you for giving me a voice that I didn't know I had and giving me a platform to branch out into something I had never done before, to even have the ability to make my videos on Clapper. I'll throw that little click in there. And I've got such a following, and it's amazing, but I give God all the glory, and I'm just thankful that he has given me this small task. I am just a simple messenger with a simple message, and that simple message is resonating with so many people, and I'm just thinking, thank you, God. Praise God.
Praise God. Yes, absolutely, and we are happy to have you back, Brother Thomas. I think the podcast not only serves as a tool to help others grow spiritually, but I think it's also healing for us. You know what I mean? As we're going through many of the biblical lessons and how we relate it to what's been happening in modern society.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really scary, Jewel, of the things that are materializing right in front of our eyes, that basically the words in Revelation are right there. We are seeing everything that's in the book of Revelation is right there in front of us. And if people can't see it, well, I don't know why they can't, because, I mean, it's obvious. It is obvious.
Yes, yes. Brother Thomas, so today is Valentine's Day. For one, I would like to know if you celebrate Valentine's Day, because personally, I don't typically celebrate it in the sense of the word because of its dark ritualistic practice of animal hides dipped in blood to whip women, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, in my own home, I switch it up a bit to a day of remembrance of God's unmatched love as well as mine my family.
Well, you ask about me, and I told you that I did something that probably you thought was wrong. But when I made a video, y'all, of Cleo. Cleo's my mini golden doodle. And she's dressed in this little cute little Valentine's outfit. And when I was thinking of her as being my daughter now, because my two children have vanished, I was thinking, you know, I made this video about her. And I sent it to them, and then I thought, you know what, I need to send something separately. So I did. I sent a Happy Valentine's wish to my daughters, telling them that I love them, and kind of was hoping I would hear something from it, Jewel, but didn't. So basically it reaffirms what I've always thought, that they are children of this world. And I can't deal with that. I'll let God deal with it. And either they will have the day of awakening, and then they will be like the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter, and they'll say, "Daddy, I was wrong." And I'll say, "Welcome back to the party. I've loved you from afar, and I've never forgotten you." And mm-hmm. I'll be glad to wrap my arms around you and give you the biggest hug. And I still look forward to that day, and hopefully it will happen. But people, we got to realize that it may never happen. And that the children that you brought into this world thinking that they were going to be supportive of you and always loving you unconditionally is not so. That's a false narrative that we always thought that our children will take care of us in our old age. And unfortunately, it's easy for them to toss us to the side. They're busy with their days. They're busy with their own lives. And they don't have time for us anymore. That's a sad story.
I understand. I can definitely understand that, Thomas. And I think that many of us are in this time of separation. Mm-hmm. Because, and I'm going to talk about this a little later in the podcast, but just to give you some support here, I think that people are making their decision, with whom they're going to serve. And one of the toughest things for many of us Christians at this time is letting go. I mean, of course, we've read it in biblical text that the time would come where we would have to let go of people who openly chooses to defy God, openly chooses to, do all of these sins of the world and act in greed and hate and mischief. And it's hard to let go and walk away and say, you know, I choose Jesus. I'm not, this is not my family. This is not
not the family that
what
I
God had in store for
that
me.
Was supposed to be. I raised them differently.
And
I raised them to be loving children. What happened to that?
You know, Brother Thomas, one of my famous sayings I had in my youth, when I remember one time I was walking out of a job that was just totally insane. I mean, they were really just violating my rights left and right. It almost felt like I was in a third world country. And I remember saying, who's coming with me on my way out?
Who's going to follow behind because aren't you being treated the same way? Right, right.
Yeah, like, you know, we don't have to tolerate this abuse. Who's coming with me? Don't choose this evil over
don't settle for something that you know is wrong.
And I could laugh about it now because I had youthful and innocent eyes, not realizing that even back then so many people were riddled with fear that they were willing to either participate in those cruel acts in hoping that it doesn't happen to them.
Right.
And I was always a freedom rider, so to speak, or someone that was always about doing the right thing and justice and standing up for the bottom man. So looking back, you know, of course I didn't know all the retaliation that would come from being so vocal against tyranny. But I laugh now and I think to myself, I'm going with God. Who's coming with me?
Amen.
And I'm still
you better, I'm telling you, you better get a following. Everybody better line up and, you know, pick up that cross and do what you got to do, because otherwise,
yeah,
you ain't going to make it.
No, no.
You're gonna make it.
We're definitely at that point. You know, people were still wondering. That gray area is really thinning out, and you're going to have to make
a
decision.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jewel. You know what the issue? I'll tell you what the issue is with my children. I realize this now, and with my family, too. It's because they become complacent. Everything has always been, it always is going to be wrong. People need to wake up. They need to realize things are changing in this world, things that we have never seen before, and that everything that we thought was going to be here, was going to be stationary, is temporary, and that we are at the end of time, and either you are going to wake up and see this and realize that we are in a special class and that you need to follow the will of God. And if you do not, and you choose to follow the will of the devil, then I feel sorry for you.
You'll be left behind.
Yeah.
So, with that said, today's topic is a rebirth from intruders, time thieves, and grave robbers. And I'm sure some of you, our followers, are wondering, whoa.
How does that have anything to do with Valentine's?
Very heavy for Valentine's Day.
I guess you're talking about Valentine's Massacre. Jewel, you remember Valentine's Massacre?
It does. It does have a massacre undertone to it. But you see, everyone today is fully aware, right, that Valentine's Day has somehow become a national day of fornication. That should hit no one by surprise, right? Because that's what's going on. But what many do not consider is how that sin has opened so many doors and family secrets that people would actually choose to kill to hide. So, dare I say it, you see, many people do not understand that while embracing fornication, we also accept secrets of incest, bastard children, secrets of homosexuality, secrets of pedophilia. I could go on and on. But the point is, I mean, you name it, Brother Thomas.
It's open season. It really is.
It's open season once you open that door. Don't you agree?
And we program our children for it, Jewel. That's the thing. You know, we teach them that the candy hearts, you know, the conversation hearts are so important, and that, you know, doing the little Valentine, you know, cards. And we all go, I remember, you know, with my children, I would go to the Walmart store and we would get the little package of all the, you know, the little cards in there. You'd have the one for the teacher and you'd have all the ones. And you would sit down with the child and you would write their name out and everything like that. And then you would seal them up in the little envelopes. And then we gave those to our friends, you know, that we said, oh, I want you to have this one and I want you with that. And basically it was selective service. It really was. Because you could decide, oh, I don't want to give that to Janie or I don't want to give that one to Johnny. Okay. And you wouldn't. And so they would have their own little clique. And basically it was a clique. So it would be people that you know had always been kind to you or good to you, and you were recognizing that fact. That's what being a Valentine is all about. Would you be my Valentine? Will you show me love? Will you show me, you know, consideration? That's what we did. And we're teaching this to our children at the elementary age. And we shouldn't. We should, in fact, say, you know what? It's just a day, but it has nothing to do with God's love. Nothing to do with God's love. God's love is eternal. God's love is internal. Internal. So if you feel good about yourself first, you don't have to have somebody else tell you that you are who you are. You don't have to have the accolades. You don't have to have the recognition. Because if you have that internal feeling of love that you get only from God, that's all you need. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. And, you know, I'm going to even dive a little deeper here, Brother Thomas, because mm-hmm. I know I'm going to piece it together for you guys. We're getting to where this massacre comes in. And, you know, this whole day, it's going down as one big ritualistic sinful practice that may come back to haunt many people. And mm-hmm. and these very same participants, whenever they feel threatened by these secrets that they have held onto in celebrating mm-hmm. today. And that's something that a lot of people don't think about.
Well, one thing about heart, even the heart, okay? So the mm-hmm. heart is a symbol. Mm-hmm. It is a symbol. And so what we've allowed to even have in our texting now, we don't even say the word love anymore. You put a heart.
Mm-hmm.
You put a carnation.
Yeah, the emoji.
Heart. Yeah, you put an emoji. So what is that doing? You can't even say the word love anymore. You just give a heart. All right, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know. No.
Yeah.
Wrong. Words are important. And that's what I tried to say to these, I said it to this young mother who had two young children today. And I was asking them about if she had gotten a Valentine's. And she said, no, we couldn't afford it. I said, you know what? You don't have to have money. And you don't. And I said, I taught my children this, and this is something that you can learn too. Have them get a piece of paper, crayons, and they do a drawing. They make a card.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. I said, you'll have no idea the sentimentality that comes from that, because it's your own child's handwriting. It's their own concept of what they feel is love and how they want to express love to you. And I'll tell you, and I'm going to probably cry again. We used to do that with my mother. And I had no idea that mother would, and they do. Mothers cherish things and they store them away. And mm-hmm. So the day came when we put mom in the sky, her ashes, and then we gathered and we were talking and we were going through, you know, clothes and things, and we go through books and we open up the books, and lo and behold, in the books were those drawings. Mother had kept them all these years.
That's beautiful.
Why would a mom keep them all these years? We're grown-ups now, you know? I mean, because it was special. You understand that drawing was a special connection that she felt from her children. It didn't have to be a bought card that has a plastic words and they don't mean nothing. But when you sat down and you comprised that message, it was from your heart. Because children love their mothers. They love their fathers.
They do.
They love their grandparents. They come into this world. Now, if they're not shown love, they won't express love. So it's our duty,
mm-hmm.
our duty, to show them God's love.
Amen. Amen. And that goes along with what I said earlier with what I do with my boys. I choose to celebrate God's love and my love for them. And I think, you know, in many of these pagan holidays, you can decide with your own family what you want to do or celebrate in your own home, right?
Right.
And make it your own day of remembrance and celebration of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all know that how important love is to God, and without love, there's nothing. And mm-hmm. so focusing on love, I think, would be key for many believers that are not sure what to do on this particular day. But before I get too off track, I want to bring it back to how I'm tying in what's been happening here. And opening eyes and lifting the veil here. And back to these individuals that are fornicating and, you know,
or hope
committing
so.
Acts that are very simple and shameful to God. Because I think that because a lot of people only focus on what they're doing and they think, well, on a big scale of things, my sin of fornication is small. It can't be too worrisome. Well, when you do sinful acts collaboratively, that's what's considered ritualistic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get a large mass of people all committing the same type of sin on the same day, that energy that's being emitted is a very, very strong frequency of negativity, right? And then what ultimately happens is that these individuals that cannot bear to carry the burden of their sexual deviances, meaning that
they give in.
These individuals who've done these things and they've had children that they want to hide that came out of it, they want to hide the fact that they're having another relationship with the same sex. In the background, they want to hide the fact that they're attracted to young people. What ends up happening is when the tables turn, and they do, and these secrets come close to being revealed, what do you think these people want to do?
Well, they shun away.
Anything to keep it from coming to the light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have to open our eyes and realize, okay, we're walking a tightrope here, right?
Yep.
Because you don't think of the repercussions of what can happen to you being the neighbor next door to someone that's trying to hide pedophilia.
Right.
Right?
And
so this is why, as Christians, we have to take these stances and we can't be lukewarm and say, well, it's not happening in my bed, it's not happening in my house. Well, when someone comes next door with a gun to take out the person next door and misses them and hits you, at what point does that become your problem?
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? So
Amen.
We have to take a stance early.
Revenge is revenge.
So that they know that that we don't condone any of that energy that's happening that day that's not in the agreement of God. Okay? And
sins of the Father.
You know, And this escalates quickly because these individuals do not just defy God in their acts. They will then attempt to actually recruit others to join them.
Well, that's what the materialistic thing about the Valentines is all about. I mean, my God, you realize in the stores, they put out Valentines right the day after Christmas. I mean, right after Christmas, you got Valentines. And so everyone is promoting this fornication. Everybody's promoting this ritualistic day of saying, you know, did you get my Valentine? Oh, or I didn't get a Valentine, so I don't feel good. Or I don't feel love. Why? Because you didn't get a paper heart, so you don't feel love. Something wrong with that picture, right? I mean, so many people have allowed themselves to think that if they don't get a Valentine, that they're not special. They don't exist. They're a wallflower. And that's not true. That's not true. So, you know, but if you look at it, and it's really funny. I was out there today in the grocery store, and I was watching all the men, y'all. And it's just like Christmas. You know, they wait to the last minute. Well, they waited to the last minute on this one as well. In fact, I'll tell you this is a funny story. It's a young couple. I got in the elevator with Cleo. And, of course, she's wearing her little Valentine's outfit. And I was saying, Happy Valentine's. Cleo's wearing her Valentine outfit. And the guy says, Oops, it is Valentine's? I said, Oh, yeah, it is. He goes, Oh, Lord. I looked at him. I said,
You didn't get no flowers?
Uh-uh.
And she said, it's okay, honey. I'm pregnant, you know. And, you know, I said, well, that's good enough then. You know, you've got, you've shared love and you're fixing to have this, you know, baby. And I said, but you do know that you should get her flowers. And he goes, mm-hmm. And then I said, and you do know that maybe not flowers, but maybe candy since she's pregnant. And she goes, oh, yeah, I love candy. I'm going, there you go. And so then it came time for me to get out of the elevator. And so I did, and I heard him holler to me in the background. He says, man, thank you for saving my ass. I said, it's all in a day's work. That's what I do. That's what I do.
Yes. Yes.
But that was wrong, really, because it should have said, honey, you know I love you, and you know flowers mm-hmm. and candy is not going to make up for that love. It's not. And at the end of the day, if I give you that box of candy, you're going to get sick and throw up, or you're going to gain pounds, and you're going to hate yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. Or flowers, you're going to say, okay, you gave me flowers this day, but what about the other days? Do you give me flowers then? No. So then the expectation is, oh, crap, I done started something here. I done created something here. I got to do flowers every single day, gum day there is. I'm doing one, Mother's Day, birthdays, anniversaries. You go, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And then who benefits from it? The industry, the floral industry, the candy industry. Yeah. It's a huge day for them, a one-day thing. Mm-hmm.
It okay. is. It is. But that was a lovely story of just encouraging love, you know, through those that are married and reminding them, too, that God loves them and to love each other. Because that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
But
especially with her being in her condition because she's emotional anyway.
Yes. Being pregnant.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just their hormones are, they're crazy. I mean, people who know that have been in a relationship and the spouse has, you know, is carrying a baby, well, they are ultra sensitive. And they can think they're too fat. And you say, honey, how do I look? And you're going, oh, you look just beautiful. Uh-huh, you're just saying that. I mean, anything that you say is wrong. Like, it really is. Mm-hmm. You can't win. You cannot win with the situation. You just say, basically you say, honey, I love you just the way you are, and let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Don't try. Don't try to sugarcoat, because they read right between it. Mm-mm-mm. No. Man can't win. No. Mm-mm. You set her up. You got her body changing, and she ain't happy. Ain't happy. And anything that you say, you're the victim. You're the one who calls all this. Yeah.
Wait till
birthing time comes. You'll find out. You'll find out. Mm-hmm. You'll feel the pain, literally. Mm-hmm. Yes, you will. Mm-hmm.
Well, but
enough
Thomas,
said.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to bring it back to
today's no problem.
Topic. Yes.
Yeah.
And I really want it to sink in with our followers. I mean, I don't want you to think that I'm being extremely negative, but it's very important that you understand the spiraling effect of this holiday and what it will require to pull yourself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to understand for many, this can even sink deeper into occult practices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I'll say this, Jewel. The occult thing even starts in our churches. I remember even having Valentine's parties at church.
Yeah.
Now, why would we do a paganistic, you know, ritual and carry it into the church? Why?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard of some churches switching around holidays, like instead of Halloween, they've had like Hallelujah parties, but I'm not quite sure. I mean, you know, maybe they could, you know, stem it into a day of love, which I, you know,
that's what I would think they needed to do instead of going Valentine's, you know, writing the Valentine hearts or whatever. Just have them sit down and say, okay, look, y'all, what does God mean to you? What does God mean to you? What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think that you? What do you think that God means to you? What do you think you mean to God? How have you expressed yourself to God? We should be showing Him love. We should.
Mm-hmm.
We should be showing our fellow man love. Okay? So when you're thinking of Valentine, let's turn that around and think it's a day of love. Simple.
Yeah, I definitely co-sign that one. And
mm-hmm.
I think that what is key here is understanding what's at play and
mm-hmm.
how it can escalate very quickly. And
mm-hmm.
this way you will not be captured in their
right.
setups. And deception.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to spell out here for you guys.
And it starts when they're young, at elementary age. It starts when they're young. And it shouldn't.
It should not. But, you know, if you openly refuse, and I want to prepare you guys for this, if you openly refuse and denounce their work,
yeah.
and these are works of the occult.
Yeah.
You need to prepare for open persecution.
Oh, that and yeah, open persecution and also throwback in your face. Because they're saying, wait a minute,
yeah.
we're all doing this. It's a group setting. It's a group
yeah.
activity. And we all have to, and your teacher's going to let you know it. If you don't give little Johnny and Susie
yeah.
the little Valentines to give out to the other kids, then what are you doing? What are you doing?
It does start as early as childhood, and that attempt to humiliate you by any means
necessary
for denouncing sin.
So I'm sorry you didn't bring any of you didn't bring any Valentine's, so you don't get the you don't get the punch in the Kool-Aid, and you don't get the little cookies. I'm sorry because you didn't play the game. You didn't go by the rules.
So that's how it starts as a child, and if if you're not confident enough by adulthood to feel like, hey, it's okay. You want to isolate me? Cool. I can deal with it. Well, by the time you're an adult, these sinners want to try to dig into a bag of your past before you knew better, before you knew that you were being pulled into Satan's dungeon. And they're like, but remember you did this and remember you did that. And, you have to tell them, well, I've had my rebirth. And I was born again, you graveyard robbers and time thieves and intruders.
Great segue.
I will break that down to you guys also a little later, but that's the point that I'm trying to make, is that you have to separate yourselves from them because this is what they do, all right?
Yeah.
This is what they will do, and we want you to be prepared for it. Prepare for the isolation. Prepare for the targeting. Prepare for the humiliation tactics.
Yeah.
What we have here are grown children just escalating the behavior of children.
Yeah.
It's not anything new. And if you're prepared for it, when it hits you, you're like, okay, Auntie Jewel told me that this is what they were going to do, humiliation tactics. They're going to, try to dig into my past. They're going to try to... whatever they can do to take the light off the fact that they cannot repent for their fornication, secret lives of sin.
Yeah.
That is the facts.
Yeah.
And so, with that said, I think as deplorable as all of this seems, I want you all to take hope in the fact that Jesus stated, we will do greater things than him. Yes.
Yep.
That means we can survive these physical and spiritual attacks and persecution.
Yes.
That is greater than
because
what
we have
he
God's
did.
Love. Because we have
because
God's love.
We have God's love behind us. So not only survive it, but we can overcome it. Then live to tell the story of our rebirth from these individuals.
Amen.
So with that said, I'm going to ask Brother Thomas if he can read today's scripture on rebirth.
Okay. So the scripture today is John 3, and you want me to do all of it, Jewel? the whole thing, yes, all the way to verse 36. So it's a lot of what stuff. But you're going to get, you're going to find out what's in here, because there is a special verse that everyone knows or should know, and we'll get to it, and I'll make light of it when I get there. So John 3. So now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. I'm sure all of y'all have heard about Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." So basically, Jesus is chastising him for saying this and thinking it. So then he says this, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel? Do you not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know, and we bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness? If I told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life." Now, here we go. John 3:16. Here it goes. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they were coming, and he was baptizing people. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. There rose therefore a discussion on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have borne witness, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." In other words, Jesus is stealing the thunder, the light. Mm-hmm. So then basically he's saying, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. and so this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard of, that he bears witness, and no man receives his witness? He who receives his witness has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son, and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, amen. Truer words have never been spoken. So if you are a child of this world, look out. Look out.
Amen.
God's saying, get thee behind me, Satan, I never knew ye. And that's where we are today, people. The line has been drawn in the sand. And you're either going to be on this side of the line or that side of the line. And I'm telling you, I choose to be on the line of Jesus. Thank you very much, of Yeshua. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be of this world. I'm not going to be of this world. My children are of this world, and I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for my family, my sisters, because they have chosen to be of this world. I, on the other hand, have been separated. They have shunned me. They have told me I'm crazy. They have told me I'm a conspiracy theorist because I believe these things. I believe, first and foremost, God. And I believe that God is the way, the truth, and the life. And if God says things are going to end, they're going to end. And you had better be ready. And they're not ready. They are not ready. And so I weep. I weep for them. You know where it says that Jesus wept? Well,
mm-hmm.
He knows that people are going to sin. That's a normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that they're going to do things they shouldn't do, and they're going to have guilt. And the guilt is given by, you know, the devil. He makes them feel guilty. But all they need to do is turn from their evil ways. Turn around. God's there. He's got his arms wide open to receive you back in. You just need to repent. You need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Just like if my children would come to me and say, you were right. I wouldn't chastise them and say, I know. I would say, I'm glad you're here with me. I'm glad that we will go into the gates of heaven together. But people, we've got to realize that may not happen. You can't convince everyone. In fact, I was reading some things that have been posted on X, which is Twitter. And people are saying, you know, I've come to realize that the MAGA people, you can't convince them. They are already bought and paid for. They already think that Trump is the all. He's their savior. He's the one that's going to bring them wealth and prosperity.
Brother Thomas, huh? I don't want to get too caught.
I know. I'm just saying.
Politics.
But it's the things of this world. So don't buy into the things of this world. Don't. Turn your eyes toward Jesus. Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. I want to thank you very much, Brother Thomas, for that reading. Although it was long and extensive, I think it hit on so many key points
mm-hmm.
on today's topic of rebirth and
mm-hmm.
From intruders, time thieves, and grave robbers. And one of the things that stood out to me in that reading was when Jesus said that if you don't get it from the God in heaven, then you have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason
they have it from the little G, Jewel. They have it from the little G, not the big G.
Yeah. that's precisely why it stood out to me, because many people join these occult Masonic groups,
yep,
looking to destiny swap with people.
Yeah.
They find out who is gifted with prophetic words or gifts of being spiritual teachers and so forth. And
mm-hmm.
before people can even fully walk into their calling that God has put on their lives, they already make deals and hidden
yeah.
handshakes to come
yeah.
for these people, unbeknownst to these individuals. And
yeah.
they do it in hopes of getting riches of this world. Right?
Yeah, indeed. Mm-hmm.
And Jesus,
but it's false riches.
That
yeah, it's false riches.
Basically, it's false riches. And if it's not from the God in heaven, then
mm-hmm.
you're setting yourself up for your own demise.
Right.
This is basic wisdom that has
mm-hmm.
been passed down in this historical text from Jesus himself, from Solomon, from different individuals in the Bible that's been here before us, that experienced this, told us their
mm-hmm.
mistakes, told us their mishaps, and yet years later, we have human beings still trying to circumvent
yep. God. They want to emulate, they want to basically emulate Yeshua and God, and they want to do these things without God. And God says this, no, 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 no. You don't get to play this. You don't get to play this role. Mm-mm. Devil may be telling you that you can play this role, but no, 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 no. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to my Father except through me. Amen,
mm-hmm.
amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen, amen. And those that did not understand the topic, when I talk about these intruders and these thieves, and grave robbers, because many of these individuals are in their attempts to circumvent
mm-hmm.
going through Yeshua and going
mm-hmm.
through the trials and tribulations the right way to obtain
mm-hmm.
Whatever God has in store for them, they
mm-hmm.
decide that they want to steal it by any means
mm-hmm.
necessary. And
well, you'll have men of the cloth that will step
yes.
up, get behind the pulpit, and they will preach the gospel, and then behind closed doors, they're doing the fornication.
That is very true. And that's part of what we're talking here, with so many sins stemming out of sexual deviances
yeah.
that are not being addressed and are being so deeply hidden. We have children of those that are in the cloth that were raped, molested, and had children
yeah.
From incestual relations.
Yeah.
Right? And that
yeah.
needed to be hidden, so much so that if you can't pay to keep it hidden, then you will have to kill to keep it hidden.
Yeah.
And so this is the cycle that has been repeating itself
yes.
time and time again, stepping out of sexual deviances. And
yes.
this is why it's such a problem. It's not the fact that you can sit there and say, well, it feels good, I had a good time, but what comes out of it is something
mm-hmm.
that will have to be broken by a generational curse breaker.
Yeah.
You understand? It's so
yeah.
heavy, these secrets, that it would take someone that's so strong in the word that is willing to carry the attacks and the burdens of other
yeah.
people's sins that they
yeah.
did not do themselves to
yeah.
break.
Yeah.
All right? For the rest of the generation to walk through the gates.
Yep. Yep.
So if we don't speak on this, if we don't raise the frequency and awareness that passes emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
This idea or notion that you could sit around and have relations with even
mm-hmm.
animals. Yes, dare I say it, these occults have these individuals.
Yeah, they do. I mean, the P. Diddy party definitely brought
animals.
That out. The P. Diddy
okay.
party definitely brought that out, that they did have relations with animals. Not just children, but with animals. That's sodomy, people. That's sodomy.
Barbaric. For what? To prove your alliance to another human being or group?
Yeah, because they said, hey, you do this, I'll give you $50 million. You do this, I'll give you $50 million. Yeah, there's a price on your head.
And
you're willing to do that. You're willing to sacrifice your morals.
Now they have a videotape of you sacrificing your moral
compass.
Compass, right? And then they will give you instructions to say, well, if you don't want it to come out, this is what you have to do. So now you've went from sexual deviance to you are going to behave like Cain and kill your
and you're
going to
recruit
your child.
And
deviant secret?
Yes, and Jewel, 9 times out of 10, they go and recruit others to get into the society.
Oh, yeah, because they don't want to be hell bound by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So why not drag someone else down and tell them, oh, but it's going to be so much wealth. But they don't explain to them the burden of carrying guilt. You see, because the way our father made us, it was in his image. So there's no way that we can sit here and do these sins and not carry the weight of the guilt.
Yeah. Well, realize this, those videos, I mean, that's physical evidence, you know? And so now they're being forced to do things to cover that up. So the cover up can be just as bad as the crime.
The cover up could be worse. Because you went from a sexual deviant to now attempted murder.
Yeah.
All to cover up the sexual sin. You see how bad that is?
Yeah. Murder
this
has been
what
actually what's been talked
is
about. Well, murder is what has actually been talked about, and suicides and all this kind of stuff from Epstein's little twist. And then you've got P. Diddy's little twist. And there's no telling whoever else that's involved in all these things that we haven't even heard about yet. A lot of it has to stem with FBI informants and how they can bend people to their will because they've allowed them to have that little roll in the hay and they didn't think they were going to be seen because they were behind closed doors, but they didn't realize there were cameras all in the room.
This is just
a sick world.
The level of abominable acts that I don't think the average mind can comprehend to fully understand why we have to take a step back and come back to our proper moral compass.
Well, and the thing of it is, what we're realizing with the people in Hollywood, whatever, they are showing their allegiance to Baphomet. They are.
Well, I do think they're becoming more open. They're becoming more open, definitely, with a lot of the ceremonies and these award shows and large events. They're making it more
Look how they're dressed. Oh, my God. I don't know if y'all realize it or not, but my Lord. So Kanye West's significant other, I kid y'all not, she was not wearing anything. Totally naked. Totally. And it was accepted. Why was she not arrested? Why were there spotlights on her? Why were there pictures made of her? Because that's the society we live in now. Everything goes, anything goes. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what I have to say about that. And it's twofold, right? Because society has trained us to look at nudity in such a lustful way that we forget that there was a time where we arrived here nude and respected each other, respected each other's unions, respected each other's spouses, and was able to work with each other even in the nude without lusting over them. But our society has become so lust-driven.
Well, that has to do with, I don't know if anybody watches that show, Naked? Naked Survivor?
Naked and
You're not wearing nothing but like a strap bag. And that's it.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to go too far off of today's topic, but yeah, I mean, the whole purpose of that was not just to bring us back to that time of when we were able to do it, but it also attracts viewers that are curious. Those of you that have a psychology background and sociology background, I know many of you are more curious to watch how can they interact in modern times, naked, knowing the lust that comes with it today. How do you not?
And they're being filmed 24/7.
How does that not override the desire to work together to survive? So I think that's why a lot of people are intrigued to watch it. But
because it's risque. It's something that's not normal.
But
I mean, you don't go to work naked, you know. You're clothed.
That I think that's the key word that you use, Thomas, risque. I think everyone, especially in Hollywood and these TV shows, they want to push the limits in everything.
And the envelope.
As far as
the envelope, please.
And
they get the prize money. They get the prize money.
It's for what? It's for wealth. It's for greed. It's for, you know, the things of this world that they're not trying to get through Jesus.
Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you this, Jewel. You know what? Those people that are in that show, how do they face their family later down the road? Because that film is out there. It's out there for everybody to see. So you're showing your privates to everybody.
For me, it's not even so much the showing of the privates that catches me off guard. It's the moments when they are frigid and they have to literally bond very closely with someone that's not their spouse, and for their spouse to be okay with that when it's not necessary. It's being done for greed purposes only. That's the part that gets me, I think, the most. But nevertheless, I want to just give you guys, those that are going through the situation that I described in being victimized by these individuals and these occults and these groups that are practicing these fornicating acts and recruiting others to humiliate those that are taking a stance with Christ. I want to give you some advice that I think is needed at this time, very much so, because by the grace of God, I have survived my rebirth, and I've lived to tell the story, and I want to give you advice to do the same as you're going through it. And the first thing I want to tell you guys, immediately walk away from those who create unnecessary burdens and blockages in your life. That's the first thing you need to do.
Difficult
and challenging as it may be, these individuals already sold out. They sold their soul. They've made their decision. At this point, they're going to be much set on trying to set you up in any way.
Pull
you down into the gates of hell with them. It's best for you to walk away in order to survive everything that will be thrown at you over the next few months or years that you're going through that persecution. And then, you know, I want to let you know that these individuals are just there at this point in hopes to dictate and control your life. If you weren't sure, let me reassure you that. Is that whatever agreements that they have made with these groups, their goal is to control the narrative of your life. And that's why it's key for you to walk away, you know, and remind them that you have free will to create the life, not only the life that you want, but the life that was destined for you. because these groups know your destiny, and the quickest way to block a destiny swap is to walk in your destiny. Now, sometimes it's challenging to find, but it will find you. Whether you are a teacher, whether you are a prophet, whether you are a seer, whatever it is that God's gift that is being bestowed upon you, and sometimes it's many, find it, walk in it, don't be ashamed of it, don't worry about what people think about it, because I for me, very early on, you know, there was some embarrassment, of course, like, you know,
you're different.
There was a part of my life where I was like everyone else, and then now I'm different. And how are the people that knew me back then going to relate
dealing
to
with
me
you now
that I'm different? You know,
and they're trying to bend you back. They're trying to get you turned back around. Yeah.
No, don't turn around. Don't worry about whether they accept you or not. You just walk fully in your purpose and without even exuding the energy needed to return some of these heavy spiritual attacks, they will return to sender on its own once you claim your own destiny.
Amen.
Okay? Mm-hmm. You won't even need to do all of that.
Because if you got your heart in the right place and you got your mind in the right place, it ain't going to matter what they do anyway because you're going to be focused on God.
Exactly. I mean, that's key. I mean, it's so funny because I think I'm so squared in, brother, on my journey with God that I don't even think
you don't even look. I don't even want to go that route. You know, I am not trying to keep up with the Joneses. I have never been one to keep up with the Joneses ever.
No. I just know that I needed to separate myself. I needed to zone in on God and what God's purpose was for me in this lifetime. And if it was to teach others how to free themselves from these occult ritualistic practices and involuntary testing done on them, then I am going to walk that walk and do exactly
is
that God has set for me to do, irregardless about how anyone feels about it or how many family members I lose in the journey.
Well, and that's exactly where we are. We are the star seeds, and we are the chosen. And there are a lot of us out there that didn't even realize we're chosen. But when it's all said and done, the chosen are going to know, and they're going to be. It's going to be revealed to them. And so then you've got the difficulty or the obligation is to try to separate yourself from your family, and your family has been expecting you to be a certain way and always have been, and all of a sudden you've changed. And so now they think that you are emotionally unstable or socially unfit, and basically that you need counseling. And that's exactly what my sister said to me.
Well, what it is that you are waking up to the agreements that these people have made over your life without you knowing. And as you are awakening, it's not only shocking, but it's overwhelming for you to piece all of this together and God's giving you messages.
Right.
And you're like, wait a minute, how long were these people conspiring? How long were they trying to take over my identity? How were they stealing from me? How long were they doing these ritualistic practices in the graveyard? How long were they partaking in kidnapping children underground? All of these questions start surmounting, and you're like, this is a lot. This is heavy, God. I mean, what am I taking on here?
Well, I'll say this. I am of this world. I am in this world, but I am not of this world.
Amen. Amen.
I live in this world, but I choose not to be of this world. And that's the difference right there.
And I'm going to tell you guys, when you do go through this awakening and you have this rush of information being sent to you, that you have the ringing going on in your ear. Guys, I know all about it, right? You got all of this stuff happening.
Been there and done that and paid the bill.
And you're wondering, wait, is this just me that this is happening to, and it's not happening to everyone? And then, you know, who do I relate to when I'm trying to ask them, well, what does this mean, and what does that mean? And
you find somebody like me, and I find somebody like you, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
And they're not part of your family, and that, but they are part of your family, you know, the family of God. And that's what you need
to
do. Yes, exactly.
It's part of your soul family, and you start connecting, and you're like, oh, well, your family collaborated with Masons, too, and your family collaborated with Masons, too. Well, how long has this been going on, and how long did they know that you were the chosen curse breaker of your family? Well, they must have known it since birth. And this is what's been happening behind the scenes, why we can tell you without hesitation. How to combat it, how to survive it, and how to overcome it.
Well, I tell you, speaking of my own self, I realized, and of course I didn't realize this about maybe 2 years ago, but I was always different. I always had different thoughts. I always had different ways of looking at things, looking at the world. And going back and I'm going, you know, I could have been of this world instead of in this world. I could have, you know, gone along with the Joneses and gone with the party crowd, and, you know, where would I be today? But I chose not to. I was very uncomfortable in those situations. I did not want to be around it. And then I go back and look at the majority of the people that graduated either my year or years after me, are all alcoholics. And their lives are so screwed up. Because, you know, they made choices early in their life, and now they can't get out of it. They can't get out of that rat race. And it's sad. It's sad.
Well, you know, Brother Thomas, that I was reflecting on my youth, right, and trying to understand how long, you know, did they know this about me? I didn't know it about myself. And when I when the gifts fully started to emerge, and I was like, okay, yeah, I don't think everyone's getting these messages. I thought back to me being a youth, right? I would say maybe 5 or 6 years old. And I was with my grandmother, who was also very much gifted. And she knew I was going to be gifted, and she knew I was gifted already as a young child. And I would say things to her and to other people about just random things about their life to them.
Very adult-like, though, I bet. Not a child-like.
Very adult-like, Brother Thomas. Yeah. Very adult-like. And my grandmother used to say to me all the time, she called me Juju. She used to say, Juju, you have too much chat.
And
she was trying to tell me, now as I'm an adult, in a roundabout way, that if you keep on letting people know you have these gifts, they're going to attack you because they don't want their secrets revealed, child. But she did not come right out and say it, because then she would reveal her own gifts. And that's the thing that many people who are gifted they've been hiding in the shadows, and they don't want people to see, because they see what's done to the ones that are open, like myself.
Yeah, they'd rather hide. And I'm sure we have people. I'm sure we have people on the podcast here that are sitting back, and they have secrets, and they have feelings and emotions, and they don't want family or friends to know about it as well. But y'all need to realize there's safety in numbers, and I'm talking about God's numbers.
The expectation was for us to work together, and
there's an army of God for a reason. There's an army of God for a reason.
Yeah.
We are that army.
You have to pick up your armor. You have to pick it up. No one else is going to carry the cross for you.
No.
And if you don't carry your cross, they will steal it. They will steal your destiny. If you're too afraid to walk in it, they will take it. Okay?
Yeah.
So you will have to make that decision and stop hiding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the truth.
That
is the truth. You got to step forward and say, you know what, it don't matter. It's just like with my children, you know, yes, it hurts me that I did that act of kindness and I would think that they would reciprocate, and they're not. And so, yeah, there's a hurt there, but then there also is the saying, and I say to God, I say, God, you handle them. You
have
turn
to hand
them
over to God. You can't, yes. You can't even react in a retaliatory way. You have
no.
to hand them over.
You can't shake them. You can't take them by the shoulders and shake them into reality. It does not work.
No.
It does not work. I mean, they are of this world. And they need to break out of that mold. Yeah.
They have to choose a higher frequency to operate in.
Yep.
If they choose that they only want to live to steal, hurt.
They just want to be comfortable. You know, there's not. We're not supposed to be comfortable.
So you have to hand them over to God. You're not going to change them. And the fact is, you have to become the leader you wish you had. Right.
Yeah. You got to commit, because if you don't commit, then you're noncommittal.
Yes.
And that's the truth. And if you're noncommittal, then you're not making a stand for God. And so there may be somebody that's watching you in the shadows and saying, if I would do, and if they would do just one more thing, I'm right there with them. But if you don't do that one more thing, then they're never going to be. There's some people that do that. They operate their lives. They emulate their lives around you. You may not know it. You may not see it. But if you're not the leader of the pack, who will be? Who will be?
Brother
They'll
God,
get the influence from from the evilness of this world. That's what will turn them.
Yes.
There has to be somebody who's a leader and takes a stand, no matter what, no matter the sacrifice, no matter the heartache, no matter the malice that you get from these people. And trust me, it's vicious. It's very vicious. That is not, I'm telling you, the cross that we bear ain't nothing what we thought it was going to be.
Nothing light at all. Nothing light
because
at all.
It's of this world. And the worldly things are the influence. And you've got to fight that every single day. And the best way that you can fight it with God's eyes. Focus on God's eyes. Please focus on Him. Please. I'm begging you. I'm telling you. If you want to ride the fence, it ain't going to happen. God says this. I ain't going to have somebody ride the fence and go halfway this and halfway that. No, no, no.
No.
You got to stand up. You got to pick up that cross and follow me.
Yeah. And you have to let go of the judgment. You got to let go of, you know, the people of your past. Because here's the thing. And I mentioned this before about becoming the leader you wish you had.
Yeah.
I know as a young woman of color growing up, Brother Thomas, I was always intrigued. And I spoke to you about this in the psychology and the sociology.
Yeah.
Of people and groups and leaders.
And me too. I've always had a very keen awareness of my attraction to anything dealing with the mind. Always.
Yes. It seems many of us do have a deep emotional intelligence as well in how people are respond to each other and to us.
Mm-hmm. I do it because I want to get, I want to see how to approach people. I do it so that I can say, okay, this person has this personality, so therefore I need to do this so this person doesn't feel like they can attack me, number one, or that they feel like that I'm owned to them. No, I want to do this and see how they're going to react to something, and I cut them off at the knees and do. But in a way that they don't realize that I am putting them in their place. And that's the truth of it. That's the way I did myself when I was in retail. I could tell the A personalities. Now, if y'all don't know who the A personalities are, they're the ones that are most aggressive. I mean, it's their way or the highway. And they want to be the ones or usually the loudest speaking in the room. And they always want to have the most influence. But realize this. They are so weak, really. But it's their voice, it's their attitude that basically makes people hide in the shadows. So with an A personality, you have to approach that person and say, hold on a minute. Other people are here in this room. Let's let them speak.
Yep.
You ain't got the floor.
Yep.
That's it.
That's the kind of leader we're called to be. In all fairness, that whole dictatorship and tyranny that some of these so-called leaders want to put people under, those times are coming to a swift end.
Yes, they are.
Especially around individuals like us who make sure that everyone has an opportunity to express how they feel.
Yeah.
And that's problematic.
Everybody has a voice. Everybody has a cause. Everyone has ideas. No idea. You realize, and I kept telling people this, I said, no idea is a bad idea.
Yep.
Because it's not tried. Does that mean it's not good? Because it hadn't been tried before? Why not be open to it? Be open to positively trying it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try it. See if it works. If it works, great. If it don't, then we say, okay, we tried. It didn't work. Let's go move on. Let's do something different. But because something is the same as the same as it always was the same, no, that don't make it better. Don't make it right. It don't. There could be a better way. And so that's it. That's the challenge. Let those people who may have the better way have their voice. Amen, amen.
Yes. Amen. And I want to, those of you that are going through it right now, because I came across a Facebook page the other day of a young man in Georgia, and he was mentioning he too was being attacked by Freemasons that were trying to
and
do
he was
a
bold enough to step forward. I'm glad he did that. I'm glad he stepped
and
forward.
That's the thing. We're encouraging each other to come out of our comfort zone, and I invited him to come on the podcast at any time to tell his story. But I want to tell those that are out there that are going through it, that may feel timid, scared to even say anything because they've created such a
crazy it's a scary world
around you that you're like, if I even sneeze,
I'm going to have the wrath of you-know-who on me. I'm going to have the wrath of you-know-who on me.
I get it. I get it. They got, you know, financial setups. They got psychological setups. They got spiritual setups. I mean, they come at you in a way that is so overwhelming that you literally have to be a person of God to get through it.
That's
because they're relentless. They're relentless.
That's true.
But I want to encourage you by telling you this, those that have survived this. The years ahead of you are far better than the years behind you.
Oh, amen.
You have
light at the end of the tunnel, people. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We're in the dark days right now, but there is light coming. The light is around the corner.
You have risen as a good, faithful, humble servant.
Yeah.
And, you know, leaving these people behind is going to be hard, but
very.
We must accept the consequences.
We can't accept what we can't accept.
We must accept the consequences that were deeply rooted in their jealousy and envy.
Yeah.
After all, they wanted your life so bad, they were willing to sacrifice you. They were willing to have you tortured. Let that sink in when you regroup and you feel bad about what they're going through. They're going through it because they wanted you to suffer in the worst way.
Yeah.
And you had to fight. You had to fight your way out of their traps, their financial setups, their psychological setups, their energy weapons, their just conspiring with groups of people. They've waged
their mental abuse, Jewel. Their mental abuse.
Complete mental abuse and waging wars that you weren't even told you were going to fight. How fair is
that? Right.
At least let me know I'm on the battlefield. Like,
what I'm supposed to be facing, let me see my enemy, you know?
So I can get the rock.
There's an expression, I think, and I just heard it, and God told me this, my enemy is myself. And that's the truth of it. My worst enemy is myself. So if you're not willing to step out of your skin, okay, if you're not willing to say it's God's way, not my way, then, you know, you're going to be destined to be a part of this world and not a part in this world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I want to say that just remember that they were relentless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you needed help, they were nowhere to be found.
Nope.
They were relentless with, you know, keying and saying what's going to be the next attack we're going to set forth on this individual.
Yeah.
It should be so much fun to try to
see you harmed.
To a psychiatric
They delight in seeing you harmed.
They
delight in it.
That's mind blowing to me because I cannot imagine.
You wouldn't do that to somebody. You wouldn't have somebody torture
any person's demise.
Mm.
But the idea that they wanted to come up off of your downfall, I mean, how pathetic is that?
It's sad.
It just blows my mind. It's sad.
Because what they've done is that if they swallow the Kool-Aid and they believe the narrative that, you know, they're going to get the accolades, they're going to get the worldly goods, and everything's going to be right with the world. Well, no, it's not.
No.
It's not.
No. And the thing is, they've heard stories of others getting away with, so-called getting away with these destiny swaps.
Yeah.
And becoming Hollywood stars or whatever they want to call them. But they don't talk about these people's demise.
Right.
You know,
well, remember what I told you, Jewel? I said it's this way. I said, you think of all the actors, and I'm talking about the older ones, the ones that are out of their prime now. And it's really sad if you realize majority of those people that had it all, I mean, they had the limelight, the notoriety, they had all of the fame, the fortune, all of it. And now when it's said and done, the majority of them are in nursing homes, alone, and no one sees them anymore, and no one cares about them anymore, and they end up dying. And everything that they sacrificed, everything that they did was for naught.
They didn't have love. They didn't have love for anyone but themselves.
No. Right.
They had greed. But
and then at the end, when they would need love, appreciate love, no one is there for them. And it's sad. It's so sad.
Yeah, but like I said, you can't feel sad because everyone has choices.
Exactly. They do, and they did. They had a choice. They could decide, you know what? I'm going to step away from this, and I applaud those that really have stepped away from the Hollywood scene. There are those that have done that, that they have said, you know what, I'm not going to be part of this
and
anymore. I don't like it.
Once their eyes were opened, they're like, screw this. I want to take my family, go to another country, go to just another state, and just love on my family and live on the farm. And get it out the mud. I respect that. I mean,
I do too.
I don't care,
because that was tough. You talk about breaking out of society. My goodness. And with all the people saying to them, what is wrong with you? How can
you
step away from your responsibility?
From those millions.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And how, but also, apparently, Jewel, that, well, apparently the thing of it is this, that they're thinking, you know, you have a responsibility. You know, you're supposed to be up forward and everybody's following you. So if you're stepping away from this, you're shirking your responsibility. You're supposed to show people this is the way, the truth, the life. You do these things and you get the notoriety and you get the accolades and you get the money. Because you are the voice piece. You're the propaganda. And now you're saying, no way, Jose, I don't want it. They're going, how dare you? You don't get to choose.
Yeah.
But you do. There is a choice.
And oh my goodness, it's thundering over here. I think our Father is very pleased with this message.
I don't hear thunder here. I'm sorry. I'm in a different world, but anyhow. But no, I'm glad. I think again, we need to be focused on we are in this world, but we are not of this world.
Yes.
Please realize you're here for a purpose. Your purpose is to show that God loves everyone. You
Amen.
Are to tell them that God is the only way you're going to get to heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't steal your way
Say
into
it again.
Heaven.
You
can't buy your way into
your way
heaven.
Into heaven.
Uh-huh. You can't steal mm-hmm. your way into heaven. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You got to realize that you got to make that decision, and it's a one-on-one decision, that you're going to choose God's way and go His way and do things His way, or you're going the way of the devil.
Yep.
And when you go the way of the devil, he ain't going to help you. He ain't got no support group. There ain't no support group either with the devil, I'm telling you. Once he's got you committed, he's got you signed, sealed, and delivered on that dotted line in blood, well, let me tell you something. He's dropped you then. But realize this. God will never drop you. If you will but turn from your evil ways, God is right there. Right there.
Yeah. And what's key is recognizing how this these sexual deviances are leading to these extreme occult.
And we're seeing it every day, Jewel. Oh my God! The things that we are that are out there now that weren't there 10 years ago, weren't there 5 years ago.
No,
this is. I mean, I tell you, I knew about child trafficking, but I didn't know it was so much involved in it.
No, and I knew about these fraternities and sororities,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know that so many of them were jumping from just that college level of sorority,
frat boy,
fraternity group,
mm-hmm. sorority girl, mm-hmm.
Eastern Stars and Masonic individuals.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was so many, you know, and it's eye
opening. And they're everywhere. They are everywhere. They're in our law enforcement.
So-called secrets is that they're out there in the graveyard doing rituals. Okay, guys? That's why we call them graveyard thieves. Because they're trying to steal ancestral gifts that came from our ancestors. Right? Mm-hmm. Right.
Well,
Jill,
they're even messing with people's bones. Come on now. Let's do it. Let's go deep down
please.
With it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're messing with people's bones, taking stuff out of the graveyard, putting it in people's drinks. I mean, these are the so-called secrets. This is not a secret. This is just
perverted. Assault. It's perverted.
It's perverted assault and invasion.
Demonic. Anything else you want to say? And we're seeing all the demons that are in this world right now, and the demonic.
Yeah.
The plays that they're doing, and you had better walk up, better walk away from it. You need to walk away from it.
It's gotten so far out of hand that, you know, some people could not make it as far as Brother Thomas and myself, by the grace of God.
Amen.
There were things that we had to learn along the way, the hard way, in order to overcome many of these attacks. But we have. We have.
Yeah.
And those who also have made it this far, I want to congratulate you personally. I want to remind you that you have overcame these emotional, manipulating narcissists that desperately tried to break a curse breaker, but they failed. And, you know, they chose only more curses over their own lives and lineages with attacking us. And I just want to congratulate you guys for making it this far, for learning on your own and having that deep connection.
The discernment.
To even communicate why they're attacking you, because many of us were asleep and we just woke up to what the heck is going on here. And when we got a grasp of it, when we were able to piece it together and say, wait a minute, this is happening to you too? Well, we're comparing notes and we're like, well, they did the same exact thing to me. Excuse me.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll say this. So the word that is the word of the day, the word of the year,
uh-huh.
I think you know where I'm going with this, discernment.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard discernment before. Not in church, nowhere. Discernment was not the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Discernment is an individual thing. You've got to make the decision. Discernment is decision. And if you're not discerning the difference in right and wrong, then you're going to be doing the right and wrong.
And
more likely it's going to be the wrong because you don't know the difference. You're not focused
on it. Brother Thomas, over time, you know, with discernment, it comes because you have the experience. You've faced so many demons that will come in your face and smile and have plans to harm you, that eventually you recognize these
eventually, you have to mature. At first you're saying you're naive. You can't believe that someone would do these things and get this low and do all this, and then you're going, how could I be so blind? You know, how could I have gone all this long and not seen it when it's right there in my face?
And it's, but the thing is, I think there's a confusion. It's not so much that you're naive, you just have a higher expectation of people's moral compasses.
What I think it is, is this. You know, you wouldn't do it, so therefore you don't think they're going to do it.
Of course. Of course. I mean, Thomas, we're not talking about, I don't want to discount sin, but we're not talking about a minor sin, like maybe you stole a candle from a store.
Hold on one second, Thomas.
We're talking about someone who's gone to one of these occult practitioners and found out that Brother Thomas is the curse breaker for his family, and God has certain rewards for Brother Thomas, and they decided that they want to, one, keep Brother Thomas in poverty, because that's the first thing that they do. They do anything to keep you from being employed, and then after that's done, after that phase one is done, then they come for you psychologically and spiritually. And so when you're hit like boom, 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 back to back with all this stuff and so many key players that want a piece of whatever they think your destiny is, and you're not even, like I said, you're not even prepared for the battle because you fully don't even know your own gifts yet. But they found out that you're going to be gifted, and they waged this insane war on you. That I call them homegrown terrorists, honestly.
That's a good one, homegrown. Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We're out here talking about, we're trying to kill Bin Laden. You got homegrown ones right here that take full pleasure in torturing innocent people, and we're not doing anything about it right here on this soil. Okay?
No.
And like I said, it's a squeeze. They squeeze you financially.
Uh-huh.
Where I know Brother Thomas is experiencing, they're constantly hacking his account. They're constantly hacking our mobile devices. They're constantly just invading our privacy and personal space. And
but you know what, Jewel? We made that decision. I now say this. I wish to God that I had never gotten a cell phone.
That's the thing. I'm going to tell you something else, Brother Thomas. By the time you've experienced everything we experienced, you are not as gung-ho and excited about technology as you were when you were asleep. Okay?
No.
When you see that the air conditioning can be hacked and turned off, when you see the same thing happening with your devices throughout your home, you're like, you know what?
The smart TV. Jewel, I saw something today.
Get them dumb again.
I saw something today and let people know about this. You know the little vacuum cleaner?
The one
that runs along, the Zumba, whatever it is?
Yes, yes.
Do you know what has come out recently?
What?
That little unit has been taking pictures. And it shows a woman, and she's sitting on the commode, the toilet.
And
she's doing her private business, and that thing is taking pictures.
Let me tell you something, Brother Thomas. It's so funny that you mentioned that, because one of my neighbors and my former residence, who was bribed to gang stalk me, she recommended that I get one of those Zumba.
I wonder why.
And not just that, she also recommended, I remember, I said, everything that, this is by the time I've had discernment and I could recognize the demon in her, but I let her talk because I wanted to know what these people were using on a regular basis that made their life easier to gang stalk and harass.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things she recommended. She also recommended, you know, the keypads that you put on your door for locks instead of using the old school locks?
Yeah.
The new smart keypad. Yeah, she recommended that because it's easier for them to hack and invade your home when you leave. So I'm sharing this stuff with you guys, to know exactly what not.
Technology is our enemy. Technology is our enemy. It really is. I mean, the smart TV, people, I don't know if you know, but anything that's smart means it's smarter than you. And what I mean by that is they're looking into you when you don't even realize it. Like, you've got the TV off, but it's a smart TV, right? Yeah. And you think
that
it ain't watching you.
That red light is on at the bottom letting you know you're still being watched, buddy.
That's exactly right. And they're watching you. And I'm telling you, where are we getting that technology from? Who is watching who? Well, I'll tell you.
I know.
If it was made in China, who you think's watching?
I know.
China. So, okay, let's break it down. So your phones, I'm going to say this to you, and I found this to be the truth. So if you have an iPhone or if you have an Android, okay, and you have those little camera lenses on the backside of the phone, do y'all know that those that have three, there's an issue with them? Three lenses? Do you know one of those lenses is actually a camera? So they're taking photographs of everything when you're you know, spreading the room and spraying the room, and you're actually looking for stuff, or you're taking pictures very innocently, and you're taking these pictures and you're saying, oh, this is so cool. They're surveilling you. They're looking at the surroundings. In other words, China now knows our business.
Well, it's not just China. But,
no, it's not. It's other countries as well. They know our business. The government knows our business.
These occult members within the government are assisting the occult in
that ID and me thing, and now they're going to this medical ID thing. People, if you vote for that, if you allow people to have control of your records, Lord help you. Lord help you. Because let me say this. My doctor's office contacted me. My doctor's office, which was not a regular doctor, it was like an office MD, and he said, you know, he had gone digital. And so he had to reach out to every one of his patients and say, your most private information has been hacked. And I said, excuse me? I said, I thought you had your records locked up in a cabinet. No. We release them to the web, the cloud. So when they're pushing this new ID me crap with the government or getting a loan or whatever, say no. And when they're pushing this now, this medical ID shit, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cuss, but if they do that,
language,
say no.
Yes, please.
Say no. Say no, because they are invading your privacy. Those medical records are nobody's business but yours. Period.
I think a lot of people have such a false perception of the term privacy in this country, because if we
well, they're thinking and they're selling it like, okay, well, if you have all those medical records online, okay, then it makes it that much easier for the next doctor that comes in involved in your life to automatically have your case file right there in front of them. Excuse me? Really? That's a good thing? That's a good thing? No. Why aren't they having to seek and find on their own? Shouldn't that be what your doctor should be doing? Because your life changes, right? Your physical body changes. Why are you looking at my past? You should be focused on what I am doing right now. So why are you letting my records get out there where anybody, any Tom, Dick, or Harry can have record of them? And they do. Don't do it. Say no. You have that right to say no. Don't let them. Don't buckle into the pressure. I know the pressure is there. It's to make things simple. You know, simplification is fornication.
Amen. Again, I want to close out, Brother Thomas, in really driving home the topic today and allowing our viewers to understand that what's happening today is pretty much a purge of God's gifted children. That's
we're being targeted.
The easiest way I can describe lawlessness that's happening. It's mind-blowing that it has been going on so long, to the point where, you know, when people feel like they can get away with harming someone because they're you know, a target's been put on their back, and the cops say we'll turn a blind eye and act like we
and
don't
they do.
See it. It's a wilding effect of just animals.
You think you're out there all alone.
Yeah.
Don't you feel that way, Jewel? Don't you think at times, don't you have the feeling that you're all alone, but you're really not, and you need to reel it back in.
Now you realize
you're not alone. You never were alone.
No.
You never were.
Because when, and the reason why, let me answer that, the reason why I don't feel alone, one, God's connected me to many of my spiritual family. Thomas is one of them. And I met many other brothers and sisters.
We bounce things off each other, truly. We're like brother and sister. We are.
Internationally. And just so that you guys know, this is not something that's just happening here locally in the United States. This Masonic group is operating their studies, their harassment, their targeting, their terrorist practices internationally. And so there's people all over the world that are saying the same thing.
Well, Sister Nina's facing it over there in the UK. You know, yeah, everyone knows
she
Sister
is.
Nina.
I met another sister in the UK that is experiencing it as well. And it's crazy. But like I said, when you have that target placed on your back, these people will just start doing the craziest things with no repercussions. I mean, the amount of times Brother Thomas's account has been hacked, funds taken out of his account.
Oh, talk about it. The bank
refusing to give him credit or investigate what's going on.
My credit rating's in the toilet. I mean, I started out almost 2 years now.
I started out with
843. Credit rating, 843.
If I didn't see it myself, I would believe he was in a third world country, because there's no way our federal government would allow this kind of elder abuse to happen so frequently. And then you realize, you know, this purging that's taking place of targeting individuals, this is lawlessness.
They're trying to shut me down.
These people are stealing identities. signing off on documents like they're you, with cameras in locations, and nothing's happening to them.
No.
People stealing property, coming into your home, touching and stealing your personal items. Messing with video camera footage. It's insane.
Well, Jill, I lost my car. I lost my car, and it was only 64 days late. Now, anybody knows that you should not be repossessing a vehicle unless they are in arrears at least 6 months.
Why is he 64
days late?
Now, you tell me
why. Huh? 64 days late.
Hacked, and they took money out of his account and never replenished it. I mean, it's a cycle. It's a never-ending cycle of targeting into poverty.
And now I walk to the store.
It's happening to many, many of our brothers and sisters here and internationally, and I'm just a voice to vocalize. I see you guys. I see what you guys are doing. I see your game plan. I've seen who and how you've gone about your targeting techniques.
Yeah.
And I'm just more surprised that that our supposed loved ones were the main ones that sold us out and told these groups this was the chosen one. This was a chosen generational curse breaker in our family, and it's okay for you to come after them. And please, by the way, let us know so that we could jump in and steal some more of their things whenever you do. This is why I said, no matter what happens spiritually, because here's the thing that they did not anticipate.
No.
If, like I said earlier, if you accept your destiny and really just walk away and say, you know what, if God chose me to be, He chose me to be a teacher to tell others what's going on, and that's what I'm going to do, and I don't care who judges me for it. I'm going to do exactly what God told me to do. That's when now they have to deal with their own curses.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll just say this, Jewel. I said, you know, I'm living a life of poverty, but I'm okay because I get up every morning, I say my belief prayer, and I say, Lord, you have control of my day. And I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. And at the end of the day, I get my victory. Now, they might not be victories that y'all think are victories, but to me they are. Because anything that I get good news or I have a good feeling, that's a victory. And I'm grateful for them. And I tell God, I'm thank you for my victory. And I do. But I'll just say this, you know, it was devastating for me to lose my car. It really was.
I know.
But you know what I've learned to do? I've learned to walk. I still have two legs
that move. I've experienced all of that and then some. All of that. I know exactly what it's like.
And it's hard. It really is hard when you first go out there and you start
and
that
it
first
be
journey.
At the hands of someone else and not your own is the most fun.
And not have family. And I have family people that know this. That know
it. That's the thing. That's they are sitting back, waiting for that insurance claim they put in for your death. They're wondering what's taking so long. We signed these people up to be murdered. Why are they still here? We were guaranteed.
Because, I mean, I have my daughters. My daughters know.
$1 million
Well, my daughter, they know I don't have a car anymore. Are they trying to help me? I had to have a person. I had to have a person. I had to have a person.
Until you're homeless. And
yeah, I had a person. I had to rely on a person here in this hotel to take me to the food bank. To the food bank, people.
Thomas.
I couldn't
that's a good thing,
family
though,
member help me.
You really find kindness in certain strangers, but you can find some demons in others, boy. But
that's the truth.
Whew.
That's the truth. But I'm telling you, I have seen kindness in people that I never thought possible.
Yeah.
And I've seen evilness in people that I've also never thought possible.
There are
two sides to that coin. There are two sides to that coin. Mm-hmm.
Likewise.
But I'm just saying to this, I'm grateful for the people that I have reached out to, and they have been so receptive to me and appreciative of what I bring to the table. And so they're willing to help me. But my own family won't lift a
finger.
They
turn their back. You know, Brother Thomas, I totally can relate. I understand. You reminded me of a time when I had invited a family member to be a part of my wedding party and celebration. And that person, you know, and at the time I didn't realize that they were jealous of me. Someone had to tell me, and I still doubted them when they told me. And they said, you know, that person said they can't believe you're getting married before them. This is what another person told me, this individual said. And it didn't really settle in. I you know, kind of let it go. They never showed up to my wedding, never was a part of it. And this was someone that grew up with me, a family member. And then later on, that same family member went on to get married and specifically chose not to have me in their wedding party. And when I asked them, I think at the time I was about 8 months pregnant, and I asked them, you know, why is it you didn't ask me to be in your party, but I, you know, invited you to be in mine? And their comment, you know, now in retrospect, makes me understand how long they knew who we were before we knew who we were. And the comment was, Brother Thomas, I didn't ask you to be in my party because you steal the delight everywhere you go. And it's my wedding day.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
No.
You've got to be kidding me. Seriously? They're thinking that you're going to steal their sunshine. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not? It could be that I want to help celebrate your sunshine.
But the thing is, Thomas, at the time, I didn't even know I was gifted.
No.
They knew I was gifted.
Yeah.
They knew I
because you had this, you have this personality. Plus, and you have this, you're able to express yourself, and you have this ability to win people over, and you basically have this, you have this ability to just get a lot of people on your side without even trying. I mean, you just have that connection, and they wish they had it, and you don't even realize it. You know, you have no way of knowing that you're one of these type of individuals that people flock to, and I know that's the case with me. So many people have come to me and say, I feel so comfortable with you. Really? Why? Because you are fair, firm, and consistent.
There you go.
You have always conducted yourself that way. And so I know when I tell you something or I feel a certain way that you're going to have my back. And I've always done that. I will take a stand for those individuals, and they know it. And they appreciate it. So in the workforce, that's what happened. There were some people that, you know, said, you know, and it has to be with a customer, you know, the customer went off and they were just ranting and raving. And basically the associate, you know, came to me and said, I can't handle this. I need you to step in. And I said, okay. And so I did. And so I weighed the evidence, and I saw that what was going to happen here was the customer was already irritated, and it was going to escalate to far outside my building, and I did not want that. So I said, okay, let's calmly calm this down, the voices, and let me listen to what you have to say about the situation. Now, if it's something that I can make the decision on here at store level, most definitely I will make the decision. But if it is something that I feel like needs to have a partner in this, then I will get a partner, and I will get back to you. That's all they wanted. They wanted someone to listen to them, and no one was listening to them. Now, what happened was when I went to the associate, I said, you did everything right. You did nothing wrong. Realize this, I am on your side. But I had the customer that was ready to bear arms and was really ready to take the whole store down. I had to make a decision based on those facts and those facts only. And if you're able to explain it to that individual, they're saying, damn, I did you right. Yes, you did. You learned. You knew of what you did, and you stood your ground, and you did everything right. And then when you realized it was escalating out of your control, you involved me. And that's exactly what you have to do. Get a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And you did. So, you know, it's nothing against the person. It's not you're taking this, you're taking the customer side all the time. No, that's not it. That's not it. And if you can convince that associate that they did the right thing and you want them to continue to do it each and every time because it was right, that's the main thing. And so this is what they realized for me, that even though the situation was one which went negative for them, you know, because the customer got their way, but they realized at the end of the day that I had their back and that they could come to me, they could trust me, and that's a thing. Apparently, when we're in this position, Jewel, people trust us. They trust us.
Well, that's
and
not
so when you've got people that you can trust, and God is the person you can trust the most, people. And I've said this many times in many podcasts, never, 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 never put your trust in man. He will always let you down every single time. Put your trust, your faith, your love, your devotion in God and God only. Amen.
Amen. You know, I think Brother Thomas today was a very powerful podcast and a powerful share for those individuals celebrating Valentine's Day and understanding the repercussions thereof. And we hope that you understand that we're not passing judgment, but we're giving you insight into what
to look at the viewpoint a little bit different from what we've seen it before. That you know, we grew up with Valentine's, and we grew up with it was special time, and we grew up that it's a time to share, and it's a good time to show love, but it had a different connotation. That we weren't aware of, we were not aware of, and that it is all it's all materialistic, and it is all for that basic thing of, you know, hey honey, I'm spending this money on you, you know, I'm putting forth the effort here, and you know, I really want to show you a good time. But I do appreciate, too, of what you realize that your goal is and your job is here, and that's to make sure that you make me happy. And if you don't make me happy, then there's going to be problems because I put forth all this money and this effort, and I expect a payday. And this is where you need to set up and say, forget it, buddy. You ain't getting... You're not passing go. You're not getting $200, and you're not getting my candy. Plain and simple.
Absolutely, Brother Thomas. I'm so glad that we had this podcast here today. Before I close out, I want to share some quick commentary from our prior podcast, The Selfless Act of Parenting. We had a bishop comment, Brother Thomas. Bishop
Repeat that one more time. I don't think they heard it loud enough. Bishop, people.
Yes.
A man trained in the spiritual realm. A bishop.
Yes. And he said, this is powerful. And blessings to many generations. Well, Bishop,
hallelujah.
You, it's humbling coming from you. I know that you have been healing probably many generations, and, you know, we're only armed with our experiences and the wisdom and intuition that God has given us with our gifts.
And laid on our hearts.
And we're so pleased that you found our podcast powerful and reassured us.
And realize too, Jewel, realize too, that was a 2-hour version, and that means he had to sit through the whole thing.
He did. And I'm glad it was well worth your time, Bishop Osuru. The next comment was from Mr. Sam Dolman. mm-hmm. which commented, "You're so great." Okay, thank you, Mr. Dolman.
Did you ever think you were great? Have you ever thought that in your mind that you are a great person?
You know, I'm very humble, Brother Thomas.
I know.
I never thought either.
I don't understand my following on Clapper. I swear to God, I don't understand.
It's grown quite a bit.
Over 2 months' time. I mean, it's, and I'm not tooting my own horn here, because I'm just saying that God gives me the inspiration. I make the video, I present it, and people follow it. That simple.
Nice.
It's amazing.
Nice. Well, guys, nice. Thank you again for joining us for another successful Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, sponsored by Fundraising Cup. Please, please don't forget to comment. We look forward to hearing from you, all of you.
Step forward. If you have a different story to tell, now's the time to tell it. There's no better time to tell your story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'd love to hear from you. And mm-hmm. until we meet again, I want to thank Brother Thomas once again for coming on and always being his true, authentic self. We appreciate you, Brother Thomas.
Thank you.
We hope to have you
pray
back again.
Pray for me, people. Please pray.
Please continue to pray for Brother Thomas. Pray for myself as we continue to pray for you.
We're being attacked,
all,
people.
And,
every day we're being attacked. I mean, it's just unending. And it helps to have other people say prayers for you. Although we pray mm-hmm. for ourselves, we pray to God, and God is there for us. But it is also such an encouragement to know that someone says to you, "I'm praying for you."
Yes.
I'm praying for you. I say thank
yes.
you. I appreciate all your prayers. I do. I want people to pray for my family, for my daughters, that they'll see the light before it's too late, because they won't answer to me. They won't listen to me. And that's so disheartening to think that I was the leader in the family. I'm the only brother, and my sisters won't have anything to do with me, but that I'm the father of two children that, again, don't want to have anything to do with me. It's hard to think that, you know, you raise these children to be adults, and you raise them to show love and to appreciate things and to be there for each other, and it's gone. They're of this world and not in this world.
Yes, Brother Thomas. They all have choices, and likewise is my family. I know it's tough letting go.
Very. You don't
but,
know.
But
you know what, Jewel? I mean, I did the Valentine's thing, and they didn't even respond. And so I don't need to put myself out there with them. You told me this. You said I shouldn't. But, you know, you're
and,
always
and I want to be
one
clear.
Last time would be the time, you know?
I want to be clear why I said you shouldn't before I log off. It's because many of the times when family members sell you out, they like to see you in disarray.
Yeah.
They like to see you hurt. They like to see you confused. They like to see you going through all those emotional ups
yeah.
and downs. And it's better to just cut the cord and
that's
never look back. And be steadfast in your faith.
And just be
okay.
focused on God. That's all you can do.
That's it. And you won't be disappointed.
No. Oh, heavens no. No. The people of this world are ones that the people of this world are the ones that are going to get disappointed. They really are. Because they are being deceived.
They're
being
already
being
disappointed.
And they don't realize
Brother Thomas.
It. Huh?
they're already going through it.
Yeah.
They may try to show a good face, but trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me.
But the manipulation. Oh, the deception. Oh my God. I'm telling you one thing. I'm glad I don't have that manipulation. I'm glad I don't have that deception. I'm glad at the end of the day I can raise my head high. I can.
Yeah.
And others can't do that. They can't do that.
In any room. That's one of the things I've always taken pride in, Brother Thomas. I could walk in any room with my chin up. Because
Amen.
I know that I did not do anything.
Amen.
To harm anyone.
No. I would,
anyone.
My God, I would never sign on the dotted line and sell somebody short of their victory.
No.
Just because I can
right.
do so? No. If they're entitled and they've got the victory, give it to them.
That's right.
Why should
it's
I be the one to say, no, I'm not going
to
let you have it. I'm not. That's just not me. I'm not ground that way. I'm not. I'm a person who's a sacrificer. I'd rather sacrifice myself, do for others. You know, it's the thing of do unto others as you would have done unto you.
Yes.
That's me. That's me. I will not be do unto others as they have done unto you. That's revenge. That's taking, you know, God out of the picture. You're now saying, I'm going to take care of this person. Mm-hmm. Well, that ain't God's way. God's saying, you know, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the one that will show the wrath of God. I am the one that will put them in their place. You let me handle it.
Amen.
You back off. And
Amen.
You're so much
and
better for
not,
it, because I'm telling you, God has his way of bringing them to their knees that you never even thought of.
Amen. And the last warning I told you guys in a prior podcast, do not intervene on their behalf. They
nope.
made their decision, accept their consequence.
Yep.
Okay, so that's the last I got to say on that topic. I hope to speak with you guys again soon. Thank you again for supporting the podcast, and I
yes,
hope
you
all have a great evening. Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.